Let's begin this morning by praying for all those in government. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to you in the holy name of Jesus Christ, Lord, Lord, Lord of all. And we hear your word which says in Psalms 2, verse 10, "Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him." Here's an interesting thing. "Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth." Lord, we represent now your kingdom, your authority in prayer, and your will being done here on this earth as it is in heaven. And we intercede this morning for those who are in authority, call them kings or whatever, but all people who have influence over other people, whose prominent positions give them the authority to make decisions, directions, commands, and laws. We ask you, therefore, God, from the top down, from the places of government in Washington, D.C., down to the lowest place of effective government in our communities, that you, O God, fall upon the leaders of this land, that you begin to quicken their hearts to fear the Lord, and that their hearts be turned to righteousness, that they will never abandon the laws of the land which are given for the protection of the people. Will they not bend them to their own purposes, but will be honorable to maintain the laws of the land for the sake of the people? We pray furthermore, God, that they will never take bribes, that they will not be influenced or coerced by any agencies that would seek to undermine and overthrow your will being done here through government. And we ask furthermore that they do not play favoritism with their friends for their own purposes. We ask, God, that righteousness begin to prevail in this land, that your spirit begin to convict those people of their sin, and that they begin to turn away from it. Even though they may not know you yet, they can be convicted. They can be convicted that what they are doing is wrong and what they need to do should be done right. We pray for them, O God, until they come to know you, that they will begin to recognize that they have to fear God, with whom they will be accountable to for all of their actions. Only you, God, can help them understand this, and we pray that you will do so. God, you know the condition of this nation. We ask you first and foremost to forgive the church for its failure to be salt and light, to care for the people of this nation and to bring the gospel to them. We ask you, God, to forgive us for our own sins, our failures, our iniquities, the way we have become lax and lazy and lethargic, selfish and indifferent. We pray, O God, that you will forgive us and cleanse us. And as we heard earlier, your mercies, O God, they are new every day. Your mercy and compassion on us, move on us with that, God, and recover us from our weaknesses and restore us so that we live as altars of prayer, that the fire of our Lord Jesus Christ burn in us continually in the power of the Holy Ghost. We know, God, that you forgive us, cleanse us. We thank you for that. Through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing better. We thank you, God, that through our prayers and because it is your will, there will be a great turnaround, first in the church and then in this nation. And for that, we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We have been in a period of God reviving the prayer life of the church. And we're going to continue with that. But now we're also going to add something else that God wants to include. And that is to revive a very important feature in the life of the Christian. And that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues. I make no criticisms to you. I do not stand here as your judge, but as your encourager. I'm here to support you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, and to lift you up and help you live in a higher realm. So anything I say, do not take it the wrong way. But on the other hand, if we will not admit some of our failures and our lacks and the way we have kind of dropped the ball in the spiritual realm, we would be amiss. And I thank God for him and speaking to us and saying it's time to renew that whole realm of experience. I know that most of you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues on occasion. But on occasion is surely not enough. It's just not enough. It never will be. I'm going to take a step back and remind those of you and inform those of you who haven't about the time that the Holy Ghost was poured out in the late 60s, early 70s, in that period of time called the Charismatic Renewal. A few of you were part of that. Most of you were not. You did not know what it was like to live in that realm where the Holy Spirit was so prominent because we gave him that right. When Andre and I came to Connecticut in 1973, we both had been baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoken tongues, and we came to this part of the world that is very staunch and conservative. I'm not talking politics, but conservative in its manner of behavior and expression. And very few people did we know who were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we were ostracized and criticized and laughed at and mocked, and, you know, we didn't care to this day. But then the Holy Spirit began to move on New England, and people started to realize that the Holy Spirit was real, and they were getting the experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. There is no such thing. It's a two-part deal. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you can speak in tongues. It's not those who get filled and don't speak in tongues and those who get filled and do speak. We don't have two classes of Christians. It's just one that God intended. So there was a great move, and all of a sudden people were interested in getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And because they knew that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, people started to call on me to go to meetings and speak about the Holy Spirit. And I used to go to Full Gospel Businessmen's meetings and Women's Aglow and other groups that would gather and speak about that. And I saw God begin to move on these folks. And there was such, what happened, one of the great things that happened is there was a unification of the body of Christ that came together. There were Baptists, Congregationalists, Catholics, all getting baptized with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. And right here in Cheshire, Connecticut, there was this seminary called La Salette, which is now Legionnaires for Christ. And the Holy Spirit hit some of these Catholic priests, and they opened up their I guess you'd call it a prayer room. It was pretty large, to have meetings during the week. And people from all over, Baptists, Lutherans, you name it, Catholics, were all coming together, worshiping God and pouring their hearts out to him in tongues. Do any of you remember, even in this church, when we used to sing in the Spirit? Yes. Do you remember when the harmony was like heaven came down? That the Holy Spirit would just coordinate with us. We all began to, and everyone was singing, and all of us were singing it, and the great orchestration of the Holy Spirit created this amazing supernatural sound that was like heaven and earth had met. And we just got caught up in the presence of the Lord and just were worshiping and worshiping and worshiping. And then out of that would flow all these amazing experiences. Tongues is a supernatural doorway. When we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and speak in tongues, we move out of the natural realm into the supernatural. We are born of the Spirit, and our spirit means we are supernatural in that respect. We belong to the realm of the Spirit of God and of heaven, no longer just earthlings, no longer just living in the natural, in the flesh, in the carnal, but now move into the supernatural realm, a distinguishing mark that sets us apart from all the rest of the people on this earth. Speaking in tongues is called a sign to separate, to identify, to distinguish, to make known, to advance. All of that comes with speaking in tongues. I'm going to give you a few scriptures we're going to look at. First of all, turn to John 14. Oh, I'm so excited to talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, nothing floats my boat beyond Jesus. There are two great things that happened to me in my spiritual life. The first was I met Jesus. Nothing can top that. The second was I met the Holy Spirit. Oh, my gosh. I would like to share a little bit about that as we go along this morning. We'll see if God has me to do that. Chapter 14 of John, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, for he will dwell with you and be in you. So he is with us here, and he is in us here. Not in collectively, but in individually. With collectively, in individually. A few scriptures up. Verse 12, Jesus, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And when he went to the Father, he sent back the Holy Spirit. All right. Another comforter, another helper. Holy Spirit is Jesus' replacement here on earth. He's God replacing the presence of Jesus here. They changed sides. The Holy Spirit came from heaven. Jesus went up to heaven. Jesus goes up to heaven. The Holy Spirit comes down to earth. Whatever Jesus was doing limitedly, the Holy Spirit now does enormously. While Jesus could be with us only, now the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, can be with us and in us, all of us. This was the promise. Do you know that all Israel was looking for the promise? They had this suspicious faith that God was going to pour his Spirit out because of the prophecy of Joel. Joel said in the latter days of the old covenant, God would pour his Spirit out on all flesh. And things would happen, dreams, visions, prophecies on men and women, old and young. So there was this hope, this experience was to come. And so they longed for it. And Jesus is now confirming that. Secondly, let's go to Luke chapter 24. So now Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit again. Verse 49, he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So the promise now is going to be sent. This was a promise that God would send his Spirit, pour out his Spirit. I like that word, pour. It gives you the right vision of God just releasing massive life of the Spirit onto us. He says, stay there until you are endued with power from on high. So now there's this encouragement that power is coming. The first word that we get in John is that another person is coming like Jesus. Now Jesus said, and when he comes, you're going to receive power. Now let's go to Mark chapter 16. And we'll go to the almost the last few scriptures. It says this, Mark 16, I'll begin in verse 15. And Jesus leaving these last words to his disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Jesus is declaring that one of the signs of those who believe, how many of you are believers? I know, that would be us, he's speaking to us here, is that we'll speak in new tongues. There is a reason for it. There is a prominent, godly reason for us to do this. First of all, it's God's reason. That settles to me every possible argument there could ever be. Does it to you? If God said it, let it be. It says also that they will cast out demons. Some of you know the power of being set free from demons. Some of you also know that you have power to set people free of demons. While we will not talk exclusively about that this morning, I want to say that that too is going to come back into the realm of the power of the church to set people free from demonic activity, because this whole world is sick of it. Not only sick physically, but sick from the harassment and the torment of demonic spirits that assault people all the time. All the time. And we have the authority to set people free. Praise God. I want to tell you a little story. This is true. Now, some people think, well, Christians can't have demons because, you know, after all, you're born again. But your flesh is not born again. And you drag your flesh into this new life with Christ, and it needs to be crucified. And if it's not sufficiently crucified, there are things that still hang on. But here's the truth. You cannot crucify a demon, nor can you renew its mind. You have to cast it out. A couple weeks ago, this is true. Gary Baldelli was saying to his wife, I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm dying. And Carrie admitted that to me. She said, Apostle, Gary's saying he's dying. Andre and I were together in the car when this occurred. And she says, I don't know what's going on with him. I said, there's a demon telling him that. It wasn't outside of him. It was inside of him. It had gotten in through his ear gates, threatening him that he was going to die constantly, constantly until he accepted it and started to confess it. And I said, is Gary there? She said, he is. Put him on the speaker. I said, Gary, do you hear me? Said, yes. I'm speaking to the demon, not you. I'm commanding the spirit of death to leave you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Guess what? It came out. And you know what Carrie said? I said, make sure it leaves the house. Command it out to the hot, dry, waterless places. And she said, my goodness, the whole atmosphere of the house has changed. Isn't that right, honey? And then she said, Gary's face changed from gray to flush. Praise God. You can do these things because that's the children's bread. That is the children's bread. The kingdom of God is represented by the power we have over the enemy to cast him out. Don't ever say Christians can't have demons. The late Derek Prince used to say, that's not the right question. The question is, why do so many Christians still have demons? That's what he used to say. He spent his life helping people get free from the torture of demons. Mentally, emotionally, and physically, because that's what they came to do. Remember when Jesus confronted the man in the Gadarenes? He said, have you come to torture us? Because they were torturing a man who was bound with chains. Yeah. I don't know why. God is just on me right now to tell you these things, because we need to recover the truth of our faith. We need to again live in the power of the Holy Spirit. We haven't got anything different otherwise. The Bible is true, but it must be lived out in the power that it represents. Jesus, or Paul said to the Corinthians, I didn't come to you just in word only, but in power and in demonstration of the Holy Spirit. There must be the demonstration of the Holy Spirit in our lives. First to me, God. First to me. I want to know that. I'm not saying Jesus isn't enough, because he is surely enough. But in addition, the promises of God are true. Yes and amen, they are true. These signs will follow them that believe. They will speak in new tongues. I'm going to give you a story about a couple of things. Back in perhaps the mid-70s, Andre and I were living here in Connecticut, and I was coming off of the Route 40 connector, if you know where that is, down in Hamden, and turned on to Route 10. And there's a stretch of road from the connector up to the Quinnipiac entrance, the college entrance. You guys know about that. People take more risks on that place, of that spot of the highway, than any place. They weave in and out, they speed up, they turn left, they stop. And every time we get on that part of the road, you know, I have to be extra careful. So I had just turned off the connector, and I had only gone maybe the equivalent of a block and a half. And I see up in front of me an accident. So I start to slow down. But the guy behind me doesn't slow down, and he plows into the rear of my car. And not only did he plow into me, he shoved me into the car in front of me. So I first went whoop, and then wham, like this. And I could feel it, ah, like that. And so the first reaction I had was, Jesus. And the second reaction I had was, and I began to pray in tongues fast, 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 fast. It was, you see, when you know the power of praying in tongues, it becomes your default. It takes over where knowledge hasn't been able to go. It gives you that extra dimension of reality, of truth, and of wisdom and experience. And I began to pray in tongues, and I felt, get out of the car. And so I shoved open the door, and I stood out, and I was, oh, my God, I had this. And I kept praying in tongues and praying in tongues. I couldn't stop. And I said, God, why am I praying in tongues? What do you want me to do? He said, I want you to understand, to interpret what you're saying. I said, okay. And he said to me, I want you to renounce spirits of shock and trauma. Renounce shock and trauma. Renounce shock and trauma. Demand them to leave your body. So in obedience, I said, in Jesus' name, I renounce spirits of shock and trauma. Shock and trauma, traumatizing my body because it was stiff with the pain, the shock of what I had experienced. And no sooner did I begin to renounce that all of a sudden the pain left me and I was fine. I was, you know, it was like, wow, God. And I just stood there in the middle of the street praising God, lifting my hands. I'm sure people thought, he must be upset about his car accident because his hands are up like that. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Paul had a lot of teaching about the gifts of the Spirit, or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, which is the proper interpretation, how the Holy Spirit manifests, makes himself known supernaturally in us and through us, in expressions of God's power, his love, his healing, his correction, direction, everything. His wisdom. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, he lists 9 gifts, we call them, of the Spirit. And in chapter 14, he's still explaining some of these things. Now, chapter 14 deals with the gift of tongues and interpretation. Every tongue does not need to be interpreted. I'm going to get back to that. Let me say this. There are 2 purposes and 2 tongues. The first tongue occurs in Acts chapter 2. We'll go over there. Where when the Holy Spirit is poured out and people received the Holy Spirit and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 2 says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. They begin to speak. The ability, utterance ability, comes from the Holy Spirit. The purpose of that tongue is personal. for your benefit, for your edification, for your benefit, for your education, edification, for glorifying God and lifting you up, and to edify you when it's necessary, to inform you, to bless you, to do all manner of good things. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 speak about the gift of tongues. Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 is the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right, are you clear? Stay with me. Acts 1 and 2 is the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 is the gift of tongues. So there's two tongues. One comes with the immediate infilling of the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Paul said, all of you can speak in tongues. And they all spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost. You will notice that every occasion where the Holy Spirit fell upon people and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues, it says they all began. They all spoke in tongues. There were no exceptions. This word here in 1 Corinthians 14 is for the gift of the Holy Spirit with interpretation to benefit the body. You all. It's equal to prophecy. It comes out prophetically because interpretation to the tongue, not translation, interpretation, meaning I got the meaning. That meaning now is valuable to everybody and builds everybody up. They can all say amen. When I speak in tongues by myself, I get blessed. Whether I speak in tongues or pray in tongues or sing in tongues, you can do all three. On occasion, like the experience I just shared with you in Hamden where I had the accident, on occasion you will get to know what it is you're praying because it's essential that you get to know what you're praying. So it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, begin in verse 2. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. That's what the person is doing when he's speaking to God alone. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would all prophesy, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed the interpretation comes that the church may receive edification. Okay, then we jump down a few scriptures here. In verse 14, I don't know where to begin. There's so much here. I don't like to read all the scriptures sometimes because there's too much to gather. But in this case, I'll just start with verse 12. We're still in chapter 14. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts. How many are zealous for spiritual gifts? It's not for you, it's for the church. If you love the body of Christ, if you love the body of Christ, if you love the members seated next to you that you fellowship with, then you want the gifts for them, that God would use you for their benefit. Not one of these gifts is for you. Not one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is for you. Of the nine gifts I'm speaking about. Okay? Are you zealous to see others blessed? Verse 13, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninferred say amen? Or your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you said. So, there needs to be interpretation in the congregation for the benefit of everybody. alone when you're speaking to God. You're not using the gift of tongues. You are speaking in tongues because the Holy Spirit is connected with your spirit, and you are in the process of edifying yourself, interceding for others, and glorifying God. And we have more to say about that, but I'm just bringing to you basics for today that can be helpful to you. Where do we go, God? How many other things should I share today? One time, I want you to know this first of all, please. I don't share with you anything I don't do. I pray in tongues all the time. We wake up praying in tongues, even in the middle of the night. I pray in tongues when I don't know I'm praying in tongues. All of a sudden, I'm aware I'm praying in tongues. But I've been going along praying in tongues without realizing I've been praying in tongues. Because it's the thing that your connection with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is so prompting you to intercede, to edify, to glorify, all of that, that it just becomes so natural. But it isn't going to happen overnight because we have to practice it often enough for it to become habitual. And then you will find that you are involved in the habitual praying in tongues. How else can you pray without ceasing? You can pray in English and you can pray in spirit or pray in tongues. And you can accomplish a constant prayer that way. And God wants to bring you to that place. And you will find that at every moment, a crisis moment, not only will you pray in English, but you'll start to pray in tongues right away. One time when Andre and I and the kids were up at Cape Cod, we're having a great time, and for some reason, Jason, our oldest, got sick, violently sick. He spiked a fever. I forgot what it went up to, and he was getting delirious. He was in bed, and he was thrashing around, and it was not a pretty sight. And, you know, the first thing is that we think of, well, I'm going to go lay hands on him, which is proper, right thing to do. And then I began to pray in tongues and fervently intercede for him, and I prayed in tongues and prayed in tongues, and I said, God, what is it I'm praying? You can understand at times because God wants you to. And I was praying in tongues, and I said, well, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And he said to me, shut the door. I said, what? He said, shut the door. Leave him alone. Shut the door. Get out of that bedroom. Shut the door. Get out. I said, what? He said, shut the door. I kind of had this back and forth thing with him. Shut the door. So I turned around. We were with our friends, Randa and Ernie Fry. And I said, God said, shut the door on him. He'll take care of him. I said, okay. Now that's where your faith comes in. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That was the word of God too. He was saying, I'll heal him. Just shut the door and get out of there. There were times when Jesus had to shut the door on the people who were wailing and crying and screaming. He said, leave. I'll take care of them. So God gave me that word of knowledge and that word of wisdom. This is what he's going to do. So we shut the door. Probably an hour later, we went back in to see him. He was totally healed. God got a hold of him. But there was obedience in that. Living by faith is risky, but it's easy too. All you have to do is say yes. I don't know if you remember this, Luke. There was one time you were probably about 7 or 8, and I had an experience where I had such pain in me. I didn't know what it was. I was lying in bed. I don't know if you'll remember this. But Mom was praying. Jay wasn't around. You were there. And so you came over to me. And Luke and Jason got baptized in the Holy Spirit when they were tykes. They spoke in tongues at the age of 5 or so. 3? Speaking in tongues. And so he came over to the bed and he was speaking in tongues over me. I'm sorry I have to confess this, but it's a true story. So he was praying over me, just speaking in tongues. And he said to me, he said, "Dad?" I said, "What?" He said, "You're angry about something." Well, I didn't want to hear that. But he got a word of knowledge praying in tongues. You understand what I'm saying? And he spoke that, and I said, "Oh my gosh, out of the mouth of babes." And I said, "You're right." And I renounced it. And the pain left. We have a world of the Spirit to live in that God wants us to live in. Period. And if I've not made anything clear this morning, I have to say it. Speaking in tongues is a doorway to the rest of the supernatural experiences that you can have. It's kind of like an activation process where God now is so wonderfully connected with you. I'm not saying he isn't always connected. I don't want to argue that point. He is. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. He's present in us and he has filled us. But praying in tongues is the communication of the Spirit. That's what it is. Yeah, you can pray in English. I'm not denying that. Pray all you want. Don't ignore praying in tongues. This is the subject of the day. It's not a debate over which is better. It's a statement of truth that praying in tongues activates the supernatural more than anything else. I bear witness to it. We bear witness to it in our lives. When Jason was down in Atlanta, Georgia, in trouble, after he'd wandered away from the Lord, this woman stood by the window of the kitchen every morning and prayed in tongues for him. She didn't know what was going on with his life. She knew a little bit. She knew he was not in a good place. But all the details she did not know. But I saw her. I have a picture on my desk of Andrea at the sink. There's the window of the kitchen. And it reminds me that she used to pray every day in tongues for Jason until he was released from all the bondages that he was in and set free to be what God had called him to be. She didn't always know what she was praying about, but she knew she was praying to God. And God knows. And God reached Jason and recovered him and set him back on the right track. We can give you more illustrations than examples. I'm stoking your fire this morning. I'm provoking you in this realm of the Spirit for a good reason. If you're not praying enough in tongues, ask God to forgive you and restore that ministry in your life. Will you do that? There may be some of you here today who have never spoken in tongues. I want you to get hungry before we minister to you. I'll tell you about some of that hunger. Just one or two examples. When the Holy Spirit was poured out and people were experiencing the charismatic movement, and people knew that Andre and I were Spirit-filled believers, people used to call us up from other churches and say, "Can we come and see you?" So what about? I want to hear more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking tongues. And I was still in business at the time. And I said, okay. And people from the Congregational Church, Baptist Church, Catholic priests, all were coming to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Why? Because they were hungry. hungry. They didn't care what their denomination said or taught or did or did not believe. All they knew is that they wanted that. And when you want it, you'll get it. And so I hope that this morning, by the grace of God, you have become a little bit more hungry about the present reality of the Holy Spirit in you, about the ability you have to pray in tongues, to intercede in tongues, to glorify God, to do so many wonderful things with it, to build yourself up. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would like you to give some thought to how hungry you are for that, how much you need it. Because the truth of the matter is, you will move from one dimension of experience into another that is far beyond what you've been living in. Amen. 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 Right now, God is moving on some college campuses again. And people are getting saved, baptized in water. I want to see them get baptized in the Spirit too. They need that. We need that Spirit outpouring. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus, and that after Jesus went back up to heaven, you sent the Holy Spirit. What more could we ask for? That we can live Spirit-filled lives. That we can live in the dimension of the supernatural. We can taste of the powers of the ages to come. It's only a taste, but oh, what a taste. God, enrich us again with passion to love you, encourage ourselves in the Spirit, praying in tongues, as well as English, but praying in tongues, releasing us into another dimension of spiritual experience. We ask that in Jesus' name. Stir us up. We're going to ask you to stir us up because we need you to do that. Will you do that, please? For your sake, for your glory, for our good. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, more to come later. Thank you.